This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 24, Stop Zombie Mouth.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin, one of the Michaels, who is your co-host today on said show. And I'm glad to be here with my co-host named, that would be Michael.
Woohoo! Yay! And our third co-host that I swear, you know, one of us just changes our voice each week. Phaedra is currently traveling, and I believe she's speaking at a conference today, so she will not be joining us. So, Phaedra, we miss you, and we are sure you will roll a 20 during your speech.
Or more. Because she has a plus one Vorpal blade.
No, the Vorpal blade was plus five, if you remember. You know.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about games, gaming, play, etc. And Michael, you found us a rather intriguing topic to talk about on O'Reilly.
Yeah, so as I do each week / day / every 2 minutes, I look at my RSS feeds, and I saw an article this week. Came out on O'Reilly's radar blog called How We Can Consumerize Healthcare. And you say, but Michael, what does that have to do with gaming?
Yes, Michael, what does that have to do with gaming?
You know, I am so glad you asked that, Michael. subtitle? Yes, that's the word. The Zero Overhead Principle. And so this is an interesting article by DJ Patali, or Patal, excuse me, Patil, P-A-T-I-L, Patil. And he's talking about the idea of zero overhead, and what that really is the concept that consumer products are designed to have you figure them out without a manual, right?
Some of them are.
Good consumer
didn't just show up.
Good consumer products are designed to help you figure them out without a manual. Yes. And we'll pick on our favorite consumer product, the iPhone, right? It has a manual, but why? Right?
I mean, O'Reilly writes books and publishes them on such things too, as I
recall. Yeah, I know. You get like a 300-page book that says, turn it on.
Swipe.
Enjoy. Run an app. Right? And so the concept is, you know, when you think about product design or you think about changing the way you do things in a business process, or you think about, you know, coming out with new innovations, one of the things that you want to do is allow people to learn the new as intuitively as possible and to consume the new capabilities when they need them. And I think about various games that do a really good job at this, and how game design has matured over the last 10 plus years to allow you to pick up a game and you learn the game as you play it. You know, it's one of the things that Raph Koster talked about years ago in his blog on good game design. I think there was an entry from 2001 on this, and I'll try to find the link. I saw it recently come across his Twitter feed again.
Oh, cool.
About game design and how the exploration of the game that allows you to learn the game is one of the reasons why we like games, because it's a learning experience, not from the standpoint of teaching you something like, you know, how to read or how to put a, you know, slot A into, you know, tab A into slot B or something like that. But you learn and experience the whole world of the game. And if you think about a business process or you think about a business activity as something to learn and explore through experimentation with positive feedback, that is, to me, a corollary to the zero overhead principle for gaming and business. So, example, we'll use Angry Birds. You and I talked about that before the show a little bit. And there are, what, 10, 20, 1 million different birds now in the game. They keep adding new birds with each new revision. Okay, maybe it's more like 6. But anyway, what they do is they don't just show you all 6 of the birds or 8 of the birds up front. They provide you learning opportunities, events in the game where the intuitively obvious way of solving that puzzle is a new bird. And that new bird is then presented to you at that time. And then as the puzzles are more complex over time, the combination of the birds that you have learned in the past allow you to solve these much more complex puzzles later on in the game. To me, that level of proficiency, that level of learning over time is exactly how the zero overhead principle drives changes in business processes or in new functions.
Well, it's an intriguing concept, and I think the zero overhead principle is something that, like you said, could be applied to business processes as well. It feels like a quasi learning just in time suggestion, almost an expert system structure for saying, hey, you're at this point in the process, you could be doing X, Y, or Z. You know, it's an Amazon.com suggestion maker of, I see you're looking for such and such in your procurement system. You might actually be interested in this as well, because people have searched for that or looking for this usually too, as an example, right? Right. So if you take a business process, a procurement business process as an example, so you're looking to requisition a new printer or a keyboard or a headset or something like that. So the system, using these same kind of game mechanics as your Angry Birds example, would say, hey, you know, I can solve the problem that you're having on looking for a new headset or a new printer. It might be as simple as saying, okay, look, you're trying to find print solutions. Did you realize that just down the hall you have access to this printer and I can give you access to that right now? That will cost you absolutely nothing because that printer exists. Or, hey, I noticed you're looking for a headset. If you get this headset instead of that one, not only will it plug into your phone, it'll plug into your laptop, which will help you with IP telephony. So,
yeah, I think the first example on the printer didn't resonate with me. The phone example might be more interesting. And let me riff off that for a second. I'm a procurement specialist, to use your domain that you're talking about. And my job consists of taking business requirements for capabilities, identifying the potential vendors who can provide those capabilities, contracting with those vendors to acquire those capabilities, and then after acquisition, paying those vendors for the capabilities that we have acquired. Okay?
Sure.
Let's say that's the process of a procurement specialist. I don't know if it is. I made it up, but it sounds reasonable. And I just got the job, right? So in that process, the least complex business process is matching the bill with the notification that we've actually gotten the item or the capability, right? So some way, somehow, we have some process that says, we have consumed 3 new printers from vendor X. Oh, look, we got a bill from vendor X. These two go together. We pay vendor X, okay? So from a procurement process perspective, a new procurement employee, that may be where you start them, right? Because the activity is a fairly simple, obvious activity. And I know I'm grossly oversimplifying procurement, right? Based off of understanding that process, I start seeing the linkage between this printer being purchased and being paid for with, well, what's it being used for? Because I get the notification that we got the printer and it was installed in this office. And that office happens to be the legal office, and they print a lot of contracts. Again, making it up. So I've now learned that, hey, there's a tie between printers coming in and contracts being printed in legal. So the next logical thing in my learning of this process might be to understand the requirement side. So I've gone from the beginning of the process, the end of the process, to the beginning of the process. And so now my next leveling up is to learn how to understand business requirements translating into what do we actually need, right? And so I then may start taking on that responsibility. And so this full process to eventually become the lead procurement officer, how's that, required me to level up in, I can't remember how many steps I made up, I think it was five, in all five of those steps, to where not only can I do them, not only do I understand the relationship between them, not only can I teach others how to do them, but I also understand the larger context of them within the complexity of the rest of the supply chain, right? So each of those touch points of that five-point process that I described also have linkages to other parts of our corporate supply chain in this example. And so at each of those touch points, more information gets exposed to me and allows me to learn more about that process, about those points, to the point, to the benefit.
To the extent that the system is aware of them.
Right. And to the benefit of me as that procurement specialist, who then expands my responsibilities, my roles, my learning, and the relationship between the procurement specialist and a financial specialist, or and a business analyst, or whatever, right? All those are broadening effects that expand the game in this place called procurement.
Yeah, no, interesting. I mean, we're making a very, you know, kind of thorough example here, and I can see where this is going. So there's several unlayering exercises that would be great. And this is Phaedra. This is where we really miss you, because when you think about how would you go about creating a system that could provide the capabilities that you just outlined, Michael, in my mind, that's the domain of the business process modeling, which you'd have to create a system, a learning system that could, you know, observe the users of that system, observe what they're doing, when they're doing them, why they're doing them, model it, and then have appropriate reactions and suggestions so that the just-in-time prompts are there and appropriate. And the further challenge here is, how do you provide those prompts, not just for learning, but to accomplish a task just in time, you know, zero overhead, in a way that's not like the Microsoft Clippy, which made people go absolutely bonkers. I see you're trying to write a letter. Do you want to write a letter?
Well, I think the part that gets interesting to me is, yes, you can go down the path of the complexity of defining a big business process modeling effort to try to solve this. And that is quite appropriate in many cases. But is there a way to game that business process modeling effort too in the same zero overhead principles?
Yes, yes. I think there is. I think there is.
It's almost like recursion.
Nearly, right?
It's a fractal. Oh my God, we've gone into the fractal game. The more snake. You dig, the more it's the same, but the more it's different.
but it's the same, but it's different.
But it's different.
No, but yeah, that's where I was thinking as well, right? You could have the system observe the users using the system in the environment and then make predictive guesses on, you know, what it is that they're trying to do and say, were they successful? Did they achieve their task? Were they efficient in it? Which of these users are now examples that should go into the system as a best practice observation and to help other people move along?
Did we just invent the unifying principle of gaming?
No.
No? Darn.
But we might have invented something.
No. Yes. No.
Depends on how far you dig.
That's right. So I know that in Plants vs. Zombies, if you dig all the way down, you get to China.
Yes. And now you get a badge for that too, apparently.
Oh, that badge has been there for years.
I didn't remember seeing the badge. I had re-downloaded the software. Hey, I heard a piece on Plants vs. Zombies too. Apparently they are uniting for this Halloween with the American Dental Association to avoid getting zombie mouth. Have you heard this?
I heard about zombie mouth.
Yeah, so avoid getting zombie mouth. So the notion here is instead of getting those sweets that will rot your teeth and make you having zombie mouth as you walk around, instead you could pass out zombie cards, Plants versus Zombie cards at Halloween.
Is zombie mouth kind of like Smash Mouth?
No, but there are pumpkins related to it. So, you know, there's I don't know.
Ooh.
Smashing Pumpkins. That's
no, Smash Sorry. Mouth is another band.
Oh, I know they're another band. That okay. I made the mental leap elements removed.
So I'm going to have to look up Zombie Mouth right now.
At least I think that's what it is.
Well, Zombie Mouth. StopZombieMouth.com. Zombie Mouth is growth. Gross. Okay. Putrid pus. Ooh, I like this. Okay. We're going to have to... There's a music video of Zombie Mouth.
Is it Plants vs. Zombies, though? Do yes, I have it, it right?
Is. Yes, well, it is. Good. Hold on. We're going to have to test this audio real quick.
I kind of like Zombie Breath.
Zombie Breath.
Kind of my favorite thing in the whole world.
Here we go. Trying to figure out whose music that sounds like.
I don't know. I don't know. I've been listening more and more to the Rock Doctors, the guys out of Chicago. Are they Chicago or Boston? WBEZ. That's Boston, isn't it? See, now I can't even remember who I'm listening to.
It doesn't really matter. It's all an internet stream.
Exactly. It's Sound Opinions
Sound Opinions. Show. Yes, I've listened to that a couple of times.
Yeah. So they've got a fun show and they have it on podcast now. And so one of the things that they do from time to time is they do the Rock Doctors. So, you know, they have a person who comes to them with a problem, something that ails them, and then the rock doctors prescribe them a musical diet to help them on their way.
You know, so is one of those like, you know, I don't get enough pan flute and zamfir music in my diet.
You know, I probably think there's a few people that have that problem.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Too, but I'm happy to have that problem. That and harp. You know, I just
just harp on it.
Just don't need it.
So we're harping. So
we could be the game doctors. You know, we could prescribe people the games that will help them be more creative.
Yes. So speaking of, have you picked up Bad Piggies yet?
Yeah, I've picked up Bad Piggies.
And how are you doing on it?
You know what? It is frustrating. It's all man get out.
I know.
I have seen
that same exact problem.
It seems to me that we're, you know, back to the freemium free-to-play model, that they are more than happy to create some very challenging puzzles that you could solve with the insertion of a little bit of coin.
Just a little coin. And we had a long discussion about that.
Yep.
The last two episodes.
I know. So we're not going to go there again.
Well, we will again, but not today.
Maybe so.
I mean, because let's face it, the freemium model is kind of the model where many, many, many people are coming from to
and going and to. Perfectly fine with that. So have you noticed in the Simpsons game that I'm catching up to you?
You're cheating somehow. Not only are you catching up, but in a lot of ways, you're really going. You must have your kids playing. I've been figuring that. Either you are having, you know, Little Blues or Mrs. Blue playing, because there is no way you have time in the day to spend that much time to keep going that fast.
No, I don't really. So,
but you are like just cranking.
I'm doing what I can do.
I can't figure out what event needs to occur so that I can build Moe's.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it's a bug.
There's event triggers, because I just built the coffee shop.
Yes. Oh, I haven't gotten to the coffee shop yet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And do you notice that I keep moving my city around?
Yeah, I have noticed that.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy, you know, egging houses and stuff.
Yeah, but you egg them randomly around the whole board, which makes me have to look everywhere.
Exactly.
Which I really don't care to do.
Well, that's because you don't have enough trees for me to teepee, too, you know?
Yeah, I know. I know. And the other thing that really drives me nuts, because they do this on purpose, is they keep doing the add more friends, it's social, right? Every time you level up, they throw that quest out there.
Mistake of throwing donuts at one of those is like, you know, because it's too easy to spend a donut by accident. I don't know. Yes. If that's happened to you.
Oh, but yeah, I spent a huge amount of donuts by accident one time.
I hate that.
And I think they do that on purpose.
We've hit the game.
We've hit rock bottom. So I think we need a savings throw. So what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, so my saving throw is going to be to enjoy the sunshine and the temperatures before it gets really, really cold here in Budapest. Everyone's been warning me that it's going to get darn cold. So
do they have real winter?
Apparently so. Oh, yes.
I'm so jealous.
Well, maybe so. We just put winter tires on the car. Yeah, which is a legal requirement here so that you don't get pulled over and fined.
Cool.
And fingers crossed, as a North Carolinian here in Budapest, where it really, really snows, I will be able to maneuver successfully and not have a problem.
But you've been up to New York enough, driven in the snow. It's not a problem.
That's true. That's true. So that's sort of my saving throw for this week, is getting prepared for the cold so that I do not freeze and do not crash.
Yes, my saving throw is trying to figure out time next week to listen to all the new announcements that are coming out in the world of mobile, which will obviously impact my gaming space. Just off the top of my head, we've got an Apple event on Tuesday. You've got a Microsoft event on Wednesday, I believe, or Thursday. You've got a Samsung event on Friday, I believe. And the following Monday, you've got Google's Android event. It's crazy time.
It's going to be a huge week in tech.
It is, with lots of different things that can potentially change your gaming habits. So Microsoft is the Windows 8 announcement. Not sure if they're going to announce the...
An RT, right? They're going to announce the RT then.
I'm not sure if they're going to announce the mobile stuff other than RT.
Yeah.
Because you can already buy those devices.
Surface too, correct?
I don't care about those.
Why not?
But you know, that's obviously going to change the way you interact with gaming technology. The Samsung is, I think, the Samsung Note 2. So that's going to be, you know, a new tablet for people, or a phone, whatever the Note is. I don't use one. The Apple event is rumored to be the new iPad Mini. Well, that means they'll call the old one the Maxi Pad, and this will be the Mini Pad.
There will be wonks out there that do that.
Yes, there will. And Google's announcement. By the way, oh, I got to add that into the show right now. Did you see what happened to Google yesterday?
No, but I heard that there was an awesome doodle.
Oh, no. So what happened is the firm that they use to send out their earnings announcement accidentally released it midday instead of at the end of the day.
Whoops.
They missed their numbers pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
And at one point they had taken like a 9% hit on their stock temporarily.
That's tough.
Now it bounced back, and by the end of the day this morning it wasn't anywhere near as bad as it started, but maybe they should have, you know, done a simulation or a game and practiced that earnings announcement. Because oh my god is all I can say.
Yeah, perfect information, rational players, you know, markets. Yeah. There you go. That's the whole idea.
It definitely shows why, you know, many companies make sure that they do their earning announcements when the major, you know, East Coast stock markets are done for the day. So that people have time to consume, understand, and react rationally the next morning instead of, you know, kind of the gut check reaction that happened with Google midday when the stuff came out. Crazy talk.
Amazing. No, I hadn't come across that yet. My news feeds are a little bit slower because my mornings are usually a lot of catch up, and then the afternoons, once the US wakes up, there's like, you know, heads down until it gets dark.
And dark is happening a lot earlier lately.
Which it's happening a whole heck of a lot earlier these days, which makes me happy for coffee. So,
Phaedra, we miss you.
Yes, we do.
Hope you're knocking out of the park. And Michael, I'm sure we're going to have an awesome show next week. We're looking forward for more feedback from people on the show, on contents, on just. What are you doing to gamify? I said it. I did. Your activities and what benefits are you seeing out of it? Follow us on Twitter at MichaelRose01
and CarolinaBigBlue
and GamesAtWork_biz.
Biz.
Follow us on Facebook at GamesAtWorkBiz. On Google Plus at GamesAtWork. I think it's _biz is our Google Plus page.
We're all over the map.
We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes, Network, Blueberry Network, yes. We're trying to squeeze more minutes in every day so that we can all feed you information during the week, not just once a week, either on our blog or on our Twitter feed or other locations as appropriate. So we'll talk to y'all next time, and bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.